Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic. I think something that everybody is kind of intrigued with, and that topic is karma. Karma is often thought of as a reciprocal punishment with the same connotation as an eye for an eye. Many people use the word karma to describe negative forces that they are powerless over, using comments like, I can't help that I keep losing my job, it's just my karma. And some people misinterpret the word to mean fate. But karma has nothing to do with punishment. Very simply put, karma is the result of every action producing an equal and opposite reaction. The word karma comes from the Sanskrit language. It basically means action. It doesn't describe the effect of our action. It's the action itself. We constantly generate it by our thoughts and their resulting actions, and then we have to live with the consequences of them. Karma is the way the universe teaches us the lessons we need to learn. There is universal accountability. But it isn't always cut and dry. Karma is part of the law of nature. It's not like a courtroom of law. The law of nature is rigid, like basic math. No matter how you look at it, 1 + 1 = 2. There is no weighing and consideration done by the universe, no absolute right or wrong, no gray area. It's not some kind of cosmic game. Karma is strictly cause and effect. It's a guiding law that holds us completely accountable for our actions. Today's special guest, I just want to make sure I pronounce this right, Patricia Gagich, an expert in the working principles of the law of attraction and wisdom, wants us to know that understanding the way karma works is the key to making better life choices and achieving the positive outcomes we all desire. In her book, Karmic Alibi, which, by the way, it was a recent finalist in the 2014 USA Book News Awards, in that book, Patricia shares her wisdom and secrets on how we can influence the sovereignty of our karma to recharge our lives and change our journeys. Patricia is a certified meditation specialist facilitator, completing her certification in applied mindfulness, transformative mindfulness, and mindfulness without borders from the Department of Social Work at the University of Toronto. She has an extensive career in banking and finance, a small business entrepreneur in property management, retirement homes, and medical office management. She is a motivational and business coach, consultant, and mentor. Patricia is a Feng Shui Level 3 consultant and Reiki master. And today she is with us to tell us how we can gain expedient wisdom by leaving our excuses behind. So now let's give a warm welcome to my special guest, Patricia Gagich. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you so much, Randy. And I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to your show. I'm very excited about it and really appreciate the work that you do, too. Thank you.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. So Karmic Alibi, that's a title that says something a little more than just karma. What is the book about? What is Karmic Alibi about?
I chose first of all, I decided I was going to take some of the events of my life and say, you know, maybe there's a story. Yes, there is a story, and some things are worthy of keeping to yourself, and other things are, wow, you know, if I keep hearing other people say, wow, if that happened to me, I would never get through it. I don't know how you did it. So then I decided, okay, I'm going to write a fiction series, and that's what I started to do. And then I attended Craig Doeswalt's Rockstar Marketing Boot Camp in Los Angeles, and basically I was smitten with the fact that it is a good thing to tell your story. So that was a very pivotal time for me, and the result of that was taking some of the more serious and some funny things that happened in my life and putting them into a book and sharing those, you know, tidbits and wisdoms so that other people would have, you know, possible benefit. One out of every 10 person that we meet usually has had some form of an experience similar to our own.
That's true. That's true, which is exactly, I wrote a memoir called Finally. It's my story of hope, love, and destiny. And I felt the same way. I felt like it's really important to tell your story because people can relate, and everybody has a story, and everybody could write a book. It's just that simple.
Yes.
But those of us who do choose to share do help others because they see themselves, they see parts of themselves in our stories, and it gives them hope.
Yes.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about your life. You've done a lot of things. What inspired you to achieve success at such an early age?
My upbringing was a very interesting one. My father originally was in the Canadian Armed Forces, in the Air Force, and he was a sergeant. And so he ruled our house with a particular style. And so I was very motivated by his work ethic and also by the discipline by which, you know, he was able to accomplish things, and he was an extremely, extremely kind person, always serving others before himself. And that was always something that, you know, became a modus operandi for myself, where I would drop what I'm doing to help somebody else because that's what we do. And so he passed away, unfortunately, just around my 25th birthday. I had made the decision that I wanted to go into finance and banking, and I had a very artistic mind, and I was told by my father that, you know, you need a job. Artists don't get paid very much, which is, you know, at the time was really truthful. So I developed this absolute passion for numbers and got into banking. When I was actually just after my 25th birthday, I was made a branch manager in the traditional Canadian banking system. I was one of the first female bank managers at that ripe old age of 25. And then I pursued the ivory tower and continued on my way until probably in my mid-30s. I started I was doing some speaking, working with networking organizations in the community, and developed an interest for, you know, self-employment. And pursued, at that point in time, I started my art career, and then I also started a retirement home business, property management company, and became heavily involved, sitting on boards, advisory boards, and pursued, you know, different interests that I had related to the arts and spirituality.
Wow. That's a great variety of things that you've done. Are there two particular events in your life that you feel changed your life?
The passing of my father, I think at that age, he really was a role model for me. But again, prior to that, I actually had a childhood sweetheart all through high school. And unfortunately, he had passed away. And so that had a deep effect on me, and I made conscious choices in my life that perhaps resulted in, again, I'll say karma. The karma was there. And I wanted to, I wanted to manifest. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to get past things that, you know, other people were putting up as obstacles. And perhaps at the time it was being in a male-dominated financial world where, sitting in a room with 500, bankers, and there's only a handful of women sitting in that room. So I felt as if I was breaking the glass ceiling at that time. So those were individual but spectacular events that made me feel that I could do something. So very personally affected, and at the same time, a role model for other women to realize that, hey, if she can do it, I can do it too. And I guess, I had a significant accident, and I write about that in Karmic Alibi as one of the events in my life where I was actually put in a position, not to tell the whole story, but I was on a horse, and it was a runaway horse on the Trans-Canada Highway in Saskatchewan. And I had to make a decision with an oncoming transport truck whether or not I was going to survive. If I was going to be thrown into the, pathway of this truck, I obviously wouldn't. If the horse decided it was going to throw me while I'm on the Trans-Canada Highway, I doubted I would make it. And if I was alive, I didn't know what physical condition I would be in. So I had to make a choice if I was going to take my own life, possibly, and slide off the back of the horse and hopefully roll into a ball and find myself laying in a ditch, either dead or alive. So that story I do share. And obviously I'm talking to you on the phone, Randy. So I survived.
Obviously, these are the times where we know that we have angels and spirit guides that are telling us, they're whispering to us. We may not be able to hear the exact words, but they influence our decisions.
Mm.
I always, thank my angels and my spirit guides for allowing me to stumble but never letting me fall. Because there are so many times in my life that I came just to the edge of that cliff, and it turned out okay, So you're meant to be here, and that's really what that's all about. And I'm so glad that you are, because we can talk to you today. There's a character in your book called the Wisdom Auditor. Mm-hmm. What is the Wisdom Auditor, and what was the inspiration behind it?
When the development of the book was taking place very, very quickly, this alternative, I don't know all the words that I would, share, but spirit, angel, alter ego, the encourager. But I felt as if when I was going through some of these experiences, that there was a part of my brain or my consciousness that I was paying attention to, that was the survival part of my being. And I thought, I need to give this person or this thought or this entity, whether it's me or not, a name. So I created the Wisdom Auditor. And as I was writing the book, the Wisdom Auditor would just appear, and I created environments where I was able to share the thoughts of the or verbal conversation, very, very short and very to the point, but always with such incredible depth. And perhaps the lesson that I was able to take away, that when a person reads what I've written, because I don't give a lot of the detail, but I take you directly to the experience that I have, and then the conversation with the Wisdom Auditor, so that at the end of that, the result is I've come away with hope. I came away with an understanding of the impermanence of life, having compassion and kindness that were really vital to my survival, not always walking away with, you know, the person or persons who were part of the scenario. You probably have had experiences, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners and people out in this world, you meet people and they're part of your life for a period of time, and something happens, and you cannot put a finger on it. You don't know what you said. You don't know what you've done. And all of a sudden, you're owning it and walking away feeling bad and desperately trying to, you know, want to be friends with you again. What did I do wrong? And mm-hmm. then walking through that energy, which is depleting. And Wisdom Auditor for me became the guide where I would say, perhaps in karma, the karma ripened. Maybe I'm not supposed to continue this path. Maybe that's the lesson that that person has to deal with. And when you look at the laws of cause and effect, we also, as living human beings, we have inheritance. We have a gene pool. There's congenital causes. And sometimes it can differentiate in individuals whether or not they are in lower or higher states of vibration, or they have lessons that haven't been learned yet, and you simply have played a part of it. But because we're humans, we have feelings and we have senses, and we depend on those for, you know, the Richter scale of, am I going to like you today? Are you going to be my best friend forever? But those are the types of things that we can't always know what's in another person's mind. But we don't also have to own the anguish or be angry. We can let it go. And through, you know, all of my experiences, it's cultivated into, you know, my writing the book, and then also taking into consideration going back to school. And for a lot of years, I've been, you know, studying different religions, different philosophies, and psychologies, and finding meditation early, you know, in my life, and prayer really made a big difference. So fine-tuning it into a program through the University of Toronto at the Applied Mindfulness program, and at that level, was a dream come true, because now I actually have the ability to really help people. And I think after the book and with the following work I'm doing, which is now called Mastering Life's Transitions, that'll be the new series with books that are going to be related to my Inspired to Be Rewired mentality. So there's a lot on the plate, and hopefully a lot of hours and time allowing me to do that. But people really need to be supported, and there's a lot of very positive people in this world right now who are willing and are prepared to share and to serve, and we each do our part, I think. So I'm trying to do my part, Randy.
Right, and you are. You're absolutely right. There are a lot of people, a lot of lights in this world that are trying to help people. So the tagline of your book, of Karmic Alibi, is gaining expedient wisdom by leaving your excuses behind. What do you mean when you say that?
The words for me, I think, are really important for people to pay attention to. First of all, gaining expedient wisdom, that tells me expedient means immediately. And that in order to get something immediate, you have to pay attention. And that sometimes for people is really difficult, because we have monkey minds and we like to listen to the chatter and we don't always focus on really paying attention. But if we do, the result of that can be increased wisdom. We can move our consciousness to higher states. And then leaving your excuses behind was actually an interpretation of what my first tagline was, and that was rehumanizing your attitude. And rehumanizing your attitude for, you know, when I started to ask people, what does that mean to you? A lot of people couldn't answer it, and they would say, well, what do you mean? I don't know. I'm fine. I don't have an attitude. What do you mean rehumanize? But reality is, we act oftentimes in very inhuman or non-productive or not caring or not compassionate ways, and it's because of our attitude. So if we rehumanized our attitude, then maybe when we put up our excuses in front of us to say, well, it happened because that person did this to me, or, you know, well, I had no control. Actually, there is a point in your life where you do have control, and so there are no excuses. it might not always be the perfect outcome or the outcome that you wish to be to benefit you. But sometimes, and this is where it gets really dicey, that wasn't meant to happen for you. Maybe there was a lesson. Maybe down the road, the experience that you've had will help you to teach somebody else. Because if you don't have these experiences, how can you tell somebody else? I looked at my life, and there was a point, truthfully, Randy, where I said, if one more thing happens to me, you know that saying, right? If one more thing happens to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's almost like you live in the insane machine. How can my dad die? How can this happen? And then poor me mentality, I did not want to own that. So as...
Are you there? Tricia? Oh, you dropped. Call back. Patricia dropped accidentally, so we just have to wait for her to call back. But what she was saying is, you know, about not making excuses in our lives. And, you know, I really believe that no matter what has happened to me, I've never, ever felt like a victim. Because what purpose does that have in our lives? What is being a victim accomplish for us? When we are willing to take a look at ourselves, then, okay, she's back. Let me click her in.
We had a power
you
failure.
You dropped, but you're back. Thank you. Okay. So you were
yes.
Right. So you were talking about, you know, right, taking responsibility for the things that happen in your life and understanding
yes.
that there's reasons for things.
Yes. And then we become extraordinary. We recognize how extraordinary we are and how extraordinary our lives are as gifts from the universe, from the omnipotent God, from the Creator, and we are all part of this process. So to be able to extend a hand, to serve another human being, to help another human being, I think you have to be able to tell your experience in a way that others will understand or that they know they're not alone. The number one human need is people really do not want to be alone. They don't want to be made to feel alone. They want to believe that somebody out there understands them, and whether or not you're able to talk to every single person on the planet, if you do this by virtue of a book or a blog or a phone call or even volunteer, you can make a difference. And that's the reason why I think we're given these tremendous experiences that, you know, we might not like them at the time, but when you're able to get through them and realize that you can use this to help somebody else in their dire straits or in their situation, that's good karma. You're building good merit.
I agree with you. Most people that are out there helping others have had, you know, very challenging pasts and have risen above it and are willing to share that and help pull other people up. And, you know, I mean, if you live a life without adversity, you live a life without growth. So it's kind of really wasted time here. So we have to experience these things. And we have to understand part of that is that we have, and this is something that's hard for people to understand, is that we have signed up for this life. We have signed up for this.
Yes.
Because we knew as souls what we needed to do to grow. So we come here, this is Earth school, this is the hard place. This is not heaven, this is the hard place. And we come here and we learn through trial and error and through challenges and adversity. So that's how we grow. And so to blame it on a higher power or something like that or of being a victim is completely useless. You're wasting your time, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally, yeah.
Right. In Chapter 11, you write about an experience with your mother's late friend. And so was somebody communicating with you at the time of her death? What is the story behind that?
Well, actually, my mom is alive. What took place with my mother, unfortunately, and this is another one of those shocking things, that how could this happen in my family? My mother was coming home from work one day, and it was evening, and she was assaulted, and unfortunately they stole her purse and whatever, but they also did not want her to recognize the assailant, so they beat her, And it was very, very traumatic. And she required surgeries and left her in a state of absolute disbelief that her life could be like this. And yet, out of the blue, there became an angel, the gentleman who had, she was working at the at this particular store, and he was a customer. And when she never came back to work, he was questioning, where is this lovely woman? And the next thing you know, he comes to visit her, realizes what had taken place, and he was a widower, and the two of them became very, very good friends. And eventually, I guess, the love angels sent the arrow between them, and they became a couple. And
wow.
we rejoiced and totally embraced the fact that, you know, that this woman who had, you know, married so young at 17 and then lost her husband, you know, when she was only 44 years old. And so basically she'd spent quite a bit of time alone, and that wasn't in her cards. And so in that relationship, many of us were healed. My mother was healed, and unfortunately he had a diagnosis of prostate cancer. And the beautiful part for that was that my mother actually was the one who closed his eyes on his, as he passed. And that for her was just remarkable, because my father had died of a massive heart attack, and there was everything was chaos and crazy. So for her to be able to be at complete peace and really have true experiences of love again in her life, she is the most content and amazing, most compassionate woman because of these experiences that she had, and taught us a lot. Absolutely.
That's a beautiful story. That is really
Thank
a
you.
Beautiful story. Your mother sounds like a very lovely person, and you're very, very lucky to have such a wonderful mother. Not everyone does.
That's right.
So what? So is this book a memoir, or is it a teaching tool? What exactly is your motivation in this book?
It's an unusual book, because it's on one level, there is definitely aspects of memorabilia where I am sharing what took place in my life that I want people to know, but I don't write it in the way that I take you through all the characters or all the land and space and time frames. It's you know, something that I felt was more of a revelation. If you are looking for hope, if you are looking for a place where, you know, maybe in desperation you're not really sure where to turn, but I want people to know that change is possible, and that I want them to feel like there can be hope, and that, you know, you can save yourself from a lot of frustration and disappointment in your life when you take a kind of action towards looking at yourself as, I am supposed to go through this experience and I'm not alone. So, you know, your eyes are the mirror of your soul, and if you can come forward and speak in that framework and speak in your truth, then you move forward. And I think that for Karmic Alibi, the story, there's so many things that happened to me that I could probably write one book on simply one of the chapters and give you all the details, because it's worthy of expansion. But because so many different things happened, my hope is that maybe one of the chapters or one of the stories will represent something to the reader that might be suffering or have, you know, complex situations in their life that they're not really sure how to handle, and start to do some emotional thinking and take that emotional thinking and I guess maybe go to the to my experience and say, wow, what happened? And I'm hoping that I actually was able to reveal through my character, the Wisdom Auditor, what my outcome was, and be a continuum or a role model or a source of hope for somebody, for one person.
Right.
It's just one person.
Yeah. Right. So where does is the book about karma, or is it not? I mean, what is, where does karma fit in?
The benefits of recognizing karma exists in your own personal world is that happiness and misery, which are, you know, the common lot of humanity, are inevitable effects of causes, and they're not rewards or punishments. So the book itself, while certainly you're looking through my eyes and seeing what I had experienced, I'm always making a statement for you to understand karma, that I had choices. I had a choice to make. I moved in a certain direction, and the outcome of that direction, you can turn your mind in either place. You learn from it or you don't learn from it, and you might have to, you know, deal with it again, or it affects how you make your future choices. So the book is every story, everything that happens to us, I believe, is a circle of life, and it's about karma. And those are your own personal definitions that you bring to the table of, you know, whether or not you believe in karma or not. But it won't, if you remove or abstract the word karma from it, there is cause and effect. Your actions, whether if they're bad, put you into trouble, and eventually you're living a lifestyle that's not acceptable to the normal society, or it's not acceptable to your own health and welfare or your family. Sometimes people end up in jail or prisons. And if you make positive or better choices, you know, you have fulfilled aspects of, you know, living in an environment where you have a family, you can look after your family, you have good cause to embrace all the different aspects of social, the social world that feeds and fuels you to be creative and to be responsible and happy and joyous. And it also can be a very positive way for you to experience attracting a more spiritual, happier, a more focused dedication to serving all of humanity, whether that's through your religion or through your Sangha, if you're, you know, Buddhist, or your community. It allows you to develop a better understanding. So Karmic Alibi is definitely a book about karma, and it's also a teaching tool. A while before I wrote Karmic Alibi, I also was very intrigued with obviously some of the work at the university and people talking about rewiring the brain. And I had the fortunate opportunity to hear Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is very much interested in helping people to rewire their thoughts using meditation and using different techniques of, you know, allowing your brain to absorb what you are doing with your thoughts. Thoughts
right.
create our pain, and thoughts create our joy.
Right.
And after that, I really started to think about being inspired, and I wrote Inspired to Be Rewired, Mastering the Five Radical Degrees of Life. And so that'll be part of my process in helping people to attain mastering some of life's transitions. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. So, when you speak of karma, you speak of karma within a particular incarnation. So it's a very quick cause and effect. It's, we're not talking about things that we've carried over. We're talking about an action and a reaction, basically, almost close to immediate. You know, you act this way, you get this. So that's really what you're saying. Is that right, Patricia?
Well, you know, we're born into a state that's created by ourselves. And we're self-directors, and we self-direct our efforts. So every possibility that is available to us in a favorable environment is in the here and now. So perhaps what led us, if you believe in a rebirth, what led us to this body and this soul, and again, we are genius and miracle by being able to be alive with consciousness and to be able to understand our thought processes. So if you have the liberty you know, of saying I can create a fresh day today, and this is my fresh karma, it is probably going to be based on, you know, as they say, seven generations back and seven generations forward, then, but it is only now. It's only in this moment. So, again, being fully mindful, being fully present in the moment without judgment, with an understanding that you can help the cessation of suffering to end, and you can make better and positive choices for yourself. So being mindful is really, really, is the essence, I think, of, you know, the basis of how to change your karma, how to improve your choices in life.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That really does. I'd like to give you an opportunity at this point in the show to talk a little bit about whatever you want to share, you know, about your book, your website, what you do, you know, any of those things. So I'm giving you the floor.
Thank you, Randy. Well, so first of all, Karmic Alibi, I'm very blessed to have been published by an amazing publisher. That's Betty Young's Books. And she is BettyYoungsPublishing.com. My book is available there. My book is also available on order through Amazon and in most of the local bookstores. It can be ordered if it's not on the shelf. And I would love to share one of my passions in this world has been something very special to me. In 2006, I had an opportunity to meet with someone who is involved with Cambodia, and I was able to really make a difference, and it was something, it was a life changer. In, and again, not to spend too much time talking about, you know, Cambodia, but everyone is very familiar, if not about, you know, what transpired during the time of the Khmer Rouge in the early 70s. And a genocide took place in that country via Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. The country was decimated. Millions of people lost their lives. All of the history of the country was destroyed, and literally books and any of the elders, there was no ability for them when the country restabilized for them to know what really had taken place for hundreds and hundreds of centuries before that, with the exception that because the country is very Buddhist in nature and operated by virtue of, you know, the Buddhist faith or philosophy, a lot of the monks who survived were able to take the folklores and they wrote them on what's known as reeks, and they buried them in the cemeteries, in the stupas. So there in the early 90s, one of the monks was able to go back into the stupas and started to pull out these reeks, and he wanted to write them on papers and new reeks for the future, for the cultural sustainability of the country. And this is where our paths crossed, and I was able to, in 2007, go to Cambodia, and I assisted in building a library for the area, and it's actually built in Siem Reap in, on the sacred grounds of Angkor Wat, where the temples are. And then he had a small school and an orphanage, and we began to support that and furthered that right through until 2010, when we really began to do some renovation to the area, built a kitchen and bathrooms and showers and a place for the orphans to sleep and the monks to live. And then in 2012, we made the decision to build a school for the monks. And for the first time in the history of that area since, you know, for over 25 years, they were able to hold a festival. And that's been an extremely important part of the sustainability of, you know, how that country will move forward by virtue of, you know, them being able to abstract this information and rewrite it for the future. So that's been my super, super big passion.
Oh, wow. I mean, that is such an amazing experience. You know, that talk about karma, you just fell right into that one, right?
I did. I most certainly did, yes.
Right. Do you have a website?
InspiredToBeRewired.com, and so it's www.inspiredtoberewired.com. And on my website there, I have Project Cambodia, and I also have, as an artist, I do have a few of my links there. And pretty much the story, some of the stories of the work that I've done and what other organizations I'm involved in. So I do speak about, you know, that on the website, and it is being revamped as well right now. So I'm available definitely for to be in contact with anyone who's interested. So I'm appreciative of that.
How fortunate that you have been able to live out so many experiences in your life. I mean, and of course, I mean, you have many more to go. So that's even more exciting. But wow, what a variety of things you've done. That's just so exciting for most of us that have, you know, basically done our day-to-day chores and working and, you know, raising families and stuff like that. But that's, wow.
Randy, when
awesome.
You're going through, when you live your life and it's in front of you, you don't think about it. I never really think about things as being this is extraordinary, because I'm in the middle of it, right? I'm conscious of what I'm doing, and when you add it all up, when you see what things you have done and what you've accomplished, even when I sometimes sit back and I think about it, how did I do all that? That's not me, because I'm like an everyday, ordinary person. I've gone through all this other stuff. How could this be me? But I was really blessed in October of 2013 when the Order of St. George, my name had been put forth to be knighted. So I became actually a Dame of the Order of St. George, which is a very prestigious organization in the world. And the ceremony was very spectacular. And I'm with the Niagara Command as an advisor to the command. And
oh my gosh.
I'm hoping, yeah. So, you know, when you think about your life and it, but all of these things happen in that moment, and then they're done. And then you have to move to being fully present again and what's in front of you. So
that's true.
It's great to have these. Yeah, it's great to live in the past. And that it brings up the whole point of, you know, people living in the past, holding onto their suffering or
right.
You know, making that as the excuse for every single thing. Well, I can't do that because, you know, this happened to me in 1981. And
exactly.
I can't do that because this person has hated me since 1984. Well, you know what? You're not living in 81 or 84. You're living right now, and you have a choice to make, and you can get beyond it. And your thoughts towards another person are still attaching energy to energy. So those patterns have to break. And it is good.
I agree. I agree. Which is why I just built this workshop called Embrace the Life You Deserve, Releasing the Burdens of a Past You Cannot Change. And within that workshop, you know, I help people to stop making excuses and to take their life and
perfect.
Go forward. So that's really what that's all about. So I am 100% right with you. We're coming down to the close of the show. I am going to have to say goodbye. Otherwise, we're going to get cut off. So I'd rather say goodbye and thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories and your book with us and inspiring us.
You're so welcome. I'm the one who's appreciative to be able to share that with you and your readers, and I am really looking forward to also looking into your workshop, and in any way I can help you or support you, I would love to. But thank you.
Wonderful.
I'm very grateful.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, have a wonderful day, and you know, maybe we'll get together when you come to Florida. So that would be fun.
I would love that.
But anyway, have a wonderful day and enjoy the snow.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, thank
okay.
you. Take care.
All right.
If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. So just at the top of every show page, just click on follow. And then you can be notified of all the shows. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off. Until next time, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine.